Senator Coburn, hello.
Hey, how are you? Good to talk to you.
Good to have you on the show. And I used to love that, before we get into the current events, that were you trying to save $9 or $11 trillion? What was that you unveiled?
It was $9.8 trillion over 10 years.
$9.8 trillion over 10 years, and it might have gotten some coverage on C-SPAN, and I don't know who else covered it, but I thought it was a great thing, and it got very little press, I thought.
Well, that just fits with Washington. It's what our founders worried about. They worried about the politicians being so interested in themselves that they would create factions. And the more factions they created, the more division we would have. And we wouldn't be Americans anymore. We'd be members of certain factions. And so, therefore, mm-hmm. we couldn't get along, so the republic wouldn't survive. And I wrote about it in a book that was released in May. And that's what's happening to us.
Well, exactly. I always thought you were the least political of almost any senator, because you always just cut right to the truth on that stuff. You know, the unfunded liabilities of entitlement programs and all that stuff. You were right there.
Well, I didn't have any trouble telling the truth. I'm an accountant by training and experienced businessman, and then went to med school and was known as Grandpa in med school because I was so much older than everybody. But
yeah, well.
Look, we have unfunded liabilities right now of $144 trillion. And that's not a number anybody can get their hands on.
Come on. I mean, what does that
mean?
That
means it's $40 trillion more than the entire net worth of the country.
Well, I mean.
So let me explain to you what $1 billion is, because most people can't even get their hands around that. If you make $40,000 a year, you have to work 25 years to make $1 million. To make $1 billion, you would have to work 25,000 years. So, you know, we have Washington that talks all this stuff, but no action. It's all divided into factions. Nobody wants to actually say, it's okay if I lose a seat, if I do what's good for the country in the long run. You don't hear that. You don't see it. You don't smell it. You don't taste
no,
it,
no.
Except in very few individuals. And so what has to happen is we have to change that if we want our kids to have a future. If you take that, the next 50 years for what I just explained to you in unfunded liabilities, every millennial will have to pay out, every millennial, $32,000 a year just to cover mine and your Medicare and our Social Security.
Well, I think Medicare is supposed to be insolvent by the first year I'm eligible. I'm pretty sure that's right.
Well, but the insolvency means somebody has to pay for it.
All right.
Or somebody has to loan us money, and at some point in time, people are going to quit loaning us money.
Uh-huh. Well,
because we can't pay it back.
When that happens,
so
don't we just... Go ahead.
Sorry. Well, they just start printing more money, which means you have a $30,000 a year decrease in your standard of living. One way or the other, the government takes it from the citizens, and our liberty is gone.
See, we need, well, first of all, I think what happens is when a guy like you leaves, you need to become more powerful because you go into these campaigns and causes, like this Article 5, these conventions. Explain what's going on there. You want to shift power back.
Sure. You bet. The founders knew we would end up exactly where we are today. Matter of fact, Colonel George Mason stood up. The only area where Madison does not document heavy debate during the Constitutional Convention was when George Mason stood up and said, how many of you all know of any time in history where a government has voluntarily ceded its power back to its people? And, of course, nobody could name that. And he said, we have to have in this Constitution a way for the people, not the politicians, not the government, but the people, to limit the power of the government. So they put in there Article 5, which requires 2/3 of the states to come together in an agreement to call what's called an amendments convention. And it's very limited, very specific. You can only have amendments on what you've applied for. And if you get those 34 states, which is 2/3, then we can actually make the Congress responsive to us again. And the bureaucracy. You know, we really don't have three branches of government. We have four. One is the unelected bureaucrats that direct 60% of the spending in Wisconsin from Washington.
Mm-hmm.
That your legislators don't have anything to do, don't have any power. They're powerless to control it.
Well, you know, we get
unless
less.
We,
go ahead.
Yeah, unless we redefine the Commerce Clause to what our founders intended it to be. So we don't have problems that aren't fixable. We have politicians that don't have the courage to fix them. And well, that's both parties.
Well, that's very true. I think, by the way, on that point about Wisconsin money from the feds, I think Senator Proxmire made so many people mad on that Golden Fleece Award that we were like last for a long time in getting federal pork. But, you know, that's part of the deal. But, you know, he's been...
Well, that's called leadership. You know, that's why the Bridge to Nowhere was so... People were so astounded that somebody would earmark $450 million for a bridge to 50 people on land that they had ownership in.
That's some bridge.
Yeah.
Well, and you...
And at the same time, we had Katrina.
That's
so
right.
Anyhow, we have fixable problems. We just don't have the quality of leadership and the courage. And Martin Luther described it as cowardice asks the question, is it expedient? And vanity asks the question, is it popular? And
yeah.
That's what I see in Washington. It's why I left 2 years early. I don't think we fix our problems in Washington. That's why I'm so hard involved in the Article 5.
Well, when you
process.
Say amendments convention, though, are you going to be empowered, if it all goes well, to actually add constitutional amendments to the Bill of Rights?
No, you can't add anything. You can make recommendations to the states. The states have the power for that.
Oh, okay.
An amendment convention has no power whatsoever other than to make recommendations for changes in the Constitution. They have no power.
Well,
they have the same power as Congress of making a recommendation to the states. But they're actually more limited than the Congress because they can only make recommendations based on the application they make for the convention to be called. So that's in only three areas. One's on financial responsibility, like a balanced budget amendment with generally accepted accounting principles. The other would be limiting scope and jurisdiction of the federal government, i.e. reversing the interpretation of the Commerce Clause, and then limiting the terms of both appointed and elected officials in Washington.
Well, but so it's recommended, it's non-binding, so what level of optimism do you possess that would suggest that Congress might do something that you would propose?
Well, Congress doesn't have anything to do with it. That's what's so great about it.
Well, then the states would. The states could, then.
The states would. Well, I have a great deal of confidence. We now have 2.4 million volunteers with our Article 5 movement, which is all three of these points. We're going to grow that to 20 million by the time we get to 34 states. We're going to hold people accountable, and then we're going to have a campaign to do what's right, to return the liberty that's ours back to us. You know, for the last 20 years of my life, I'm almost 70 years old. The last 20 years of my life, Washington has totally told the American people what they'll do.
Right.
And our country was set up for the American people to tell Washington what we want done.
So if the states say you have a balanced budget amendment or you have to no more debt ceiling, no more clean debt ceiling bills, you got to make it revenue neutral, whatever the states say, then they can just make the federal government do what they want? Is that the deal?
Sure, especially if you change the Commerce Clause. Because the Commerce Clause is where the federal government has power over the states. And so we have all this body of law. The original Constitution fits in your pocket, right?
Mm-hmm.
The annotated Constitution now weighs 84 pounds. And it's made up of laws that bureaucrats have written and judges have said that don't have any connection at all to what our founders believed were our inalienable rights to make decisions under a federalist system and a republican form of government.
Well, we need you to stay healthy is what we need, because you are one of a handful of people, on one hand I can count them, who talks about this stuff. You know, maybe Rand Paul could be a little bit pure in terms of the Senate on some stuff like this, but, you know, I don't know. I'm trying to think who else would be. You know, at least
I'm healthy. I have I have dedicated the rest of my life to trying to get her to save the future for my grandkids and yours. And I think we can cheat history. You know, we're well beyond the average length of the republic lives. And so how do we cheat history? We do it together through visionary leadership that calls people to say, don't you want to have a great future? And aren't you prepared to make some sacrifice now so that your kids can experience and taste the freedoms you've had?
Well, I'll tell you what. Go ahead, Senator. Sorry.
And I believe that most Americans, I talk to seniors all the time. I said, will you give up some of your Medicare and Social Security if you knew your grandkids were going to live in poverty because you don't? And almost uniformly, they say, yes.
Right.
You know, Joe Lieberman and I had a plan to fix Medicare. It was a bipartisan plan. It would have put a means test to it to people like me that I actually can afford to buy insurance. I don't have to have Medicare. And we could have fixed Medicare, and Medicare by 2020 would have been solvent. And we couldn't get it to the floor. Not just because Harry Reid wouldn't do it. Mitch McConnell didn't want it on the floor either.
That's sinful in my mind. Just sinful.
Well, it's career politicians
is what it
is. And they're more interested in their own career than they are the future of the country.
Well, Harry Reid used to make my skin crawl. But Mitch, I could see him with a bourbon and water at a Louisville Cardinal game, too. I just can't. I don't see a lot of ideology there. But I'll tell you what, Senator, I'm going to talk to your people. I'm going to be on radio in a regional capacity in a couple of weeks. I'd love to have you on that show as well. So
I will be back. The book I wrote is Smashing the D.C. Monopoly. Love for people to read it and learn how we fix
smashing
our problems.
Well, I'm going to call to your people. We'll do something again with a bigger audience here in a couple of weeks, I hope. So, all right, thank you
Sounds
so much,
good.
Senator. I appreciate
God bless
it.
You,
hey,
sir.
Go Sooners, huh? All right, there
yeah,
you have it.
And Pokes, both of them.
Pokes, I mean, the Cowboys, but
OSU Cowboys.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, exactly. All right, well, I'd say roll, but I can't say Roll Tide. That's the wrong state. All right, thank you, Senator.
Well,
appreciate
no,
it.
But you can say go Badgers, right?
Well, go Badgers, of course, goes without saying. So, yeah. All right, well, maybe
all
you
right.
can help Paul
well, God
Ryan.
God bless you.
All right, thank you very much.
See you.
Take care,
bye
Senator.
Bye.
I love that guy. This guy is the greatest. He's telling the truth about all this stuff. You don't get that very often.